Well, not many are familiar with the vocation of the archaeologist. We may be familiar perhaps with psychologists, but archaeologists are not that familiar to us. Archaeologists are experts who study the past through discovering the remains of the past. So they explore ancient ruins, tombs, potteries, even skeletons and mummies. Arguably, the most famous archaeologist is Indiana Jones, but then he is fiction. But let me tell you of a real one. One of the more exciting stories of archaeological discovery involved Austin Henry Layard. In 1842, he began excavating a place which now presently is a part of Iraq. And after several years of patient excavation, it yielded several royal palaces, including those of the Assyrian king Sennacherib, one of the most powerful men in ancient history. And therefore, the place came to be identified as the ancient city of Nineveh. Kaya't excited ang mga nung ito'y matuklasan, maraming nadagdag na kaalaman sa ating background sa Biblia, lalo't may kinalaman dito sa Nineveh. Layard later on published several books, and one of those books bore the title Discoveries of the Ruins of Nineveh and Babylon. It was published in 1853. Now, the cover of that book has the painting of Nineveh by James Ferguson, which you have there on your handouts. So, dito makikita natin kung gaano kaganda, kung gaano kadakila ang siyudad na ito. Ito ang bansa o ito yung siyudad na isinugo ng Diyos itong si Jonah upang dalhin ang salita ng Diyos. But the very sending of Jonah to a city that was Gentile, totally pagan, was unprecedented. And therefore, it was something that Jonah did not have any past precedents to depend on. It was something very new. And not only that, as I explained, Jonah considered Nineveh being the capital of Assyria as a threat to Israel. Isang banta sa seguridad ng Israel, itong Assyria na ang Kapitolyo ay nasa Nineveh, at kung ikaw ay makabansa, mahal mo ang iyong bansang Israel na natitiyak kung si Jonah ay ganoon, eh ayaw niyang makita na ang katulad ng Nineveh ay palampasin ng hatol ng Diyos at lalo pang maging banta sa kanyang seguridad. And so I explained that the escape of Jonah was not out of cowardice, as some commentators allege. The escape of Jonah was an attempt to protect his nation, Israel. It had a patriotic motive, in other words. Meron siyang makabayan na motibo sa kanyang pagtakas. But then, as Jonah attempted to escape, he went to the opposite direction. Well, what happened? Well, complications. And there we learn that escaping from God's call is the harder course than obedience. Mas mahirap ang tumakas sa panawagan ng Diyos kaysa lubos na sumunod. At ito ang naranasan ni Jonah. And what happened was that Jonah was swallowed by the big fish, probably a whale. And as I've said, I'm not going to waste time trying to justify and defend the authenticity of Jonah just because of that experience. But what we must learn here, more importantly, is that there is no real escape from God. There is no total escape even from self. And so Jonah was forced to identify himself, who he was, to the mariners. And he was thrown overboard, swallowed by the fish, and then the fish later on would regurgitate him into dry land, and Jonah found himself on square one. And the commission came back to Jonah in the same words, go to Nineveh. Well, one thing that we should learn from that is that appreciation of God's grace in the consciousness of our disobedience prepares us for obedience. Kaya narito si Jonah, matapos yung kanyang pagsuway at pagtakas, ibinalik siya ng Panginoon sa dapat niyang kalagyan at muli binigyan ng pagkakataon. And as I've said, there is something lovely about those words in Jonah chapter 3, the commission came to Jonah the second time. Our God is the God of second timers. God is not such a stringent God that He dismisses us because of our initial failures. And that's what Jonah realized. And now, after he has gone through that complication, the danger of the sea, the unique experience of being swallowed up by the fish, Jonah was now ready to obey. And I invite you to turn your Bibles with me to Jonah chapter 3. We'll read a few verses here and then we'll jump to chapter 4 and read the whole chapter. Jonah chapter 3. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Jonah chapter 3, let's read verses 4 and 5. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Jump to verse 10. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Now let's read the whole chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Then the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry even to death." But the Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much livestock?" Just one more verse. Turn to Matthew 12. Verse 41. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 41. "The men of Nineveh will rise in the judgment with his generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here." Now, as a preacher, let me confess a degree of envy of Jonah. Medyo naiingit ako dito kay Jonah. Alam niyo, isang mangangaral kung paano siya magtrabaho para sa kanyang pangangaral. Pipiliin niya ang kanyang teksto, pag-aaralan niya, gagamit siya ng mga komentaryong mga mahuhusay, babasahin niya ang maraming mga bagay upang maihanda lamang yung angkop na pangangaral para sa kanyang iglesia. Hindi lamang yun, kinakailangang manalangin siya at ituwid niya yung kanyang motibo. That's what a preacher does. That's what expected of a preacher. Study hard, be diligent, prepare something that costs him blood and sweat, so to speak, in order that there may be something prepared for the people of God, and make sure that his motive is right. None of these things is anything evident in the message of Jonah. And yet here's the prepared preacher. He preaches his heart and soul, and then it can sometimes be fruitless. Here's Jonah, not a right motive, no outline that's discernible in his preaching. In fact, he only gave one sentence of a message. And lo and behold, he has a wrong motive. What happened? The whole city repented. Hindi ka ba may inggit niyan? Trabaho ka ng trabaho, kuminsan walang pamumunga. Eto si Jonah, mali ang motibo niya. At ang mensahe niya ay tama sapagkat siya isang propeta. Subalit, maliwanag na walang paghahanda, hindi niya hinahangad yung kaligtasan ng kanyang tagapakinig. Nagbitiw lang siya ng isang salitang mensahe. Anong nangyari? Nagsisi yung buong bayan. Naghalit pa siya. Yan si Jonah. Yet, it is yielding to us a very important lesson, because what is brought out in the conclusion of this story is the stark contrast between Jonah and God's compassion. Archaeologists may discover certain background to the text, but it's still the text that yields the message. And many times archaeologists may know a lot about the text of the scriptures and yet miss the message of the text. And this certainly happens to the story of Jonah. There's a lot now that is known about the background, but let us not miss the message of Jonah. And it is often missed. It's not about the fish. It's not about the sea. It is in fact about God's compassion. And that is my message this afternoon as we conclude our brief series on Jonah. God's compassion for sinners calls his servant to stand above personal conveniences. God's compassion for sinners calls his servant to stand above personal conveniences. Ang kahabagan ng Diyos para sa mga makasalanan ay tumatawag sa kanyang mga lingkod na tumayo, manindigan sa nalumumpas sa kanilang mga pang-personal na kaginhawahan. God's compassion. The story is again bringing out forcefully the sovereignty of God. Yes, we must not miss the sovereignty of God. Several times we are told of how God controls nature. He was the one who prepared the waves. He was the one who prepared the storm. He was the one who prepared the fish. And now as we read the story, he was the one who prepared the plant. He was the one who prepared the worm. He was the one who prepared and appointed a vehement east wind. The sovereignty of God is brought out forcefully in the text of Jonah. But the real touching note is that this sovereign God is yet moved by compassion for people, for sinners. Itong soberanong Diyos na ito, na may control sa lahat ng kalikasan, mula sa pinakamalalaking unos hanggang sa pinakamaliit na uod, ay kanyang kontrolado. Subalit ang talagang nakakaantig dito ay kung paanong ang soberanong Diyos ay nagpapakita ng kanyang kahabagan, ng kanyang pagmamahal sa kanyang mga nilikha. He has compassion for sinners. And what happens in this exchange between God and Jonah is the ugliness, on the other hand, of the pettiness of his servant. The pettiness of Jonah's complaint in the face of the compassion of God. And probably we can bring this out by making two contrasts. First, we have here complaining to God without pleading for God. And secondly, complaining to God without imaging of God. So as you can see, kung inyong i-check sa ating calendar, pinagsama ko na yung para sana sa susunod na linggo at sa linggong ito, dahil meron tayong ibang schedule for next Sunday. So we have here first, that shows the ugliness, yung kapangitan ng ginagawang pag-angal ni Jonah, ay yung pag-angal niya sa Diyos, ngunit walang pagsasamo para sa Diyos. Complaining to God but without pleading for God. Jonah delivered a message of judgment that Nineveh will be overthrown. Now, there is nothing wrong with that. It is a prophetic message. But what is obvious is that not only did Jonah deliver a message of judgment, he had a wish of judgment upon his hearers. Yun ang hinahangad niya para sa kanyang mga tagapakinig. And I think as a preacher, if ever a thought brushes into my mind that somebody among my hearers will be judged by God, that will make me thoroughly guilty. This has no place in a preacher's heart. And yet, very obviously, this was the case of Jonah. Nung siya'y nangaral ng paghahatol ng Diyos sa lungsod ng Nineveh, maliwanag na yun ang gusto niyang mangyari. Nahatulan ng Diyos yung kanyang mga tagapakinig. Kaya't ano nangyari? When there was conversion, when there was repentance, Jonah found himself not only dejected, he was angry. Galit siya. He was not interested in his hearers being saved. He has no note of pleading for conversion. He was so occupied with his complaints, and yet not interested in his hearers' salvation. And that's something that we need to see in the ugliness of Jonah's complaint. A selfish occupation with our convenience numbs us to others' need of God and His grace. Kapag tayo okupado sa ating kaginhawahan, sa ating personal na mga pangangailangan, eh namamanhid tayo sa pangangailangan ng iba, ng Diyos at ng kanyang biyaya. Hindi natin ito nakikita. Jonah's concern, as we have seen, was the safety of Israel. He saw in the Ninevites a threat to that safety. And so he went to Nineveh. He had to deliver a message, and that he did, and yet without any concern for his hearers, just his own. And let me tell you, by way of warning, it is possible for a church to have that kind of spirit. We may just go through church activities without really seeking the conversion of our hearers, without really seeking the conversion of people we come in contact with. Like Jonah, upon finishing his job of preaching, he rested and waited with hope that God will condemn Nineveh. He was content with his job. No pleading. And yet as a church, it can happen to us. We may be satisfied that another Sunday is just about done. Another week is past. Let's wait for the next. But no pleading note that hearers who listen to the message should truly be converted. Let us beware of that. I know it can happen to me as a preacher. Another sermon delivered, and yet there can be no pleading for sinners to be saved. May God deliver us from that kind of spirit. It can happen to those of you who have ministries to maintain, Bible study or teaching or contact with people, and you can maintain the activities, and yet no pleading. Individually, we can be so occupied with making sure we sustain our conveniences, and the effect is we forget others. Masyado tayong okupado ng ating mga pangangailangan, sustentuhan natin yung ating pang-araw-araw, at kung doon tayo masyadong naatupag ng ating isip, nalilimutan natin yung mga nasa paligid natin ng kanilang pangangailangan ng Diyos, ang pangangailangan nila ng biyaya. Maring hindi katulad ni Jonah na talagang hinahangad natin yung kanilang pagkaparusa, pero wala naman yung pagsasamo na sila'y katagpuin ang biyaya ng Diyos. Or if you remember them at all, we think of their needs in the same way we think of our conveniences. Maring naiisip mo yung kanilang pangangailangan pang araw-araw, lalo pat yung mga malalapit sa iyo sa buhay. At pwede mangyari yan sa isang magulang na ang inaatupag niya ay yung kaginhawahan ng kanyang mga anak, ng kanyang pamilya, yung kanilang ikatutustos sa araw-araw, at malimutan na ikaw ay kasangkapan ng Diyos upang abutin sila ng kanyang biyaya. It can happen to us. We can forget the greatest need of men and women, and that greatest need is the need of God, the need of His grace. Nineveh here is described as a great city. And based on the excavation of Layard, he discovered great palaces. It was a great city. And perhaps in power and civilization, and yet it was a city without God. Syudad ito na walang Diyos. Kaya't anuman ang kadakilaan niya bilang syudad, ang kanyang sibilisasyon, ito'y miserableng syudad na walang Diyos. And we can say the same thing of many today. Perhaps you have good health and that's good. Perhaps you are blessed with a good job, and that's also to be thankful for. You may have everything decent in your life. The only thing that can be said is that you are not under God's grace, for you have not come to Jesus Christ. And for all that you have, I'm telling you, and I hope there is a pleading note, you are miserable until you come to God in His grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, without God and without hope. Basta't walang Diyos, ang maidurog tong muna kaagad ay walang pag-asa. Maaring ang inaasahan niya ay magandang kinabukasan para sa kanyang pamilya at maaari niyang maabot yun. Maaring ang inaasahan niya ay magandang kita para sa kanyang kabuhayan at magandang asahan yun. Ngunit kung hanggang doon lamang ang hindi mo nalalaman sa katotohanan ng pangwalang hanggan, ang walang Diyos ay walang pag-asa. I'm speaking again to those of you who are hearing this message. Yet one more series is about to be over. Are you now with God through Christ? And if still not so, once more I am pleading with you, come to God, come to Christ. That's the only hope. Without that, whatever your ambition may be, however much you fulfill it, there is no hope for someone who is outside of Jesus Christ. And I'm pleading with you, come to Him and be saved. And for those of us believers, learn to seek and to rejoice in God's grace to sinners. Rejoice in the compassion of God for sinners. And this is what Jonah missed. We see here a God who responds to repentance when the city of Nineveh, which was described in the opening of the book as a wicked city, and yet when the city repented, God responded. That's our God. He responds to the repentance even of the most wicked. Tumutugon siya sa pagsisisi kahit ng pinakamasama. Kahit wag mong gawing alinlangan ang iniisip mong kasalanan. Baka sinasabi mo, ang dami ko ng kasalanan, patuloy ang aking kasalanan. Wala na akong pag-asa, hindi totoo yan. Here is a wicked city, yet God responded when it repented. God relented from His judgment. What an encouragement to come to the grace of God. No matter how sinful you are, no matter how sinful you perceive your case to be, come to God. Do not defer. And this is the point of Jesus' use of the parallel between Nineveh that repented and His generation of hearers. He told His generation of hearers who was listening to one greater than Jonah that on the judgment day, the people of Nineveh will condemn this generation because they are hearing a perfect preacher in the person of Jesus and yet they did not repent. Here was a preacher of wrong motives without any sympathy and concern for his hearers and yet Nineveh repented. Seryosohin natin ang bagay na ito. Jesus is one greater than Jonah. If you don't repent at a time that Jesus has fulfilled all the redemptive plan of God, your punishment will be so much deserved. But come to Christ. For us as a church and as individual believers, we are servants of God. And let us stoke in our hearts that fire of compassion. Sindihan natin sa ating mga puso yung alab ng kahabagan para sa mga makasalanan. Ito ang ipinakita rito ng Diyos. And compassion means that we will not delight in the thought of sinners dying in their sins. We were singing that in our hymn, that He who made all nations is not willing one soul should perish, lost in shades of night. Ganyan ang ating Diyos. Ayaw niya ni isang kaluluwa ang mapahamak sa kanyang kasalanan. It was God who said in Ezekiel, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, that he should die in his sin. And I'm telling you, God does not want you to die in your sin without the grace of God in Christ. If you will die in your sin without grace in Christ, it will be by your own determination. It will not be because of any absence of the plenitude of God's grace offered to you. Inaalok yan ng Diyos sa bawat isa, at kung ikaw ay mapahamak pa rin, hindi ito dahil sa anumang bagay na humahad lang sa Diyos, ikaw ay nagpasya sa iyong sariling, ipahamak ang iyong kaluluwa. And yet once more I call upon you, come to God, come to Christ. Let us as Christians rejoice in telling to sinners of a Savior who died for sinners to live and to be saved. Learn to delight in winning souls. Do not let personal comfort and convenience deter you from becoming a pleader for God to others. This week in my e-group of international pastors, I read the case of Gianna Jessen. Gianna Jessen is a woman who survived an attempt at abortion by her own mother, a silent abortion procedure, but she survived it. However, she slept with cerebral palsy as a result of that procedure. And yet in her adulthood, she met Christ. She became converted, and she is now delightfully proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ in her witness. And she has all the more reason to complain. But she's not occupied with that. And perhaps there's something occupying us that deters us from telling people of their need of salvation, their need of grace. Or our song suggests, besides telling and proclaiming, it speaks of give of your wealth to speed them on their way, that is mission work. We rarely, and I believe it should be the case, we rarely raise the issue of giving in this church. But from time to time, examine your giving, whether it reflects compassion, whether it reflects concern for sinners. Again, our song says, put out your soul for them. Pour out your soul for them in prayer. Binibigay ba natin ang sarili natin sa panalangin bilang bahagi ng ating malasakit sa mga makasalanan? So here is the pettiness of Jonah's complaint. He was complaining to God without pleading for God. And secondly, he was complaining to God without imaging of God. Umaangal siya sa Diyos, ngunit hindi siya nagiging larawan ng Diyos. In the last section of the book reveals an exchange between God and Jonah intended to force that contrast. We are told God appointed, prepared a plant. And the narrative says Jonah was very grateful for the plant. And then later, God prepared a worm that ate away the plant. Not only that, God prepared a vehement east wind. Talagang mainit. This is a wind from the desert. Mga impression ng mga artists, pag tinitingnan yung mga painting, pag si Jonah, kadarinigan siyang pinipinta na kalbo. Wala namang ebidensya sa Old Testament na ganun nga siya, pero para lang patindiin kung bakit na umangal ng husto itong si Jonah. Nang sumikat na yung araw ng matindi, siguro hindi siya nakapagdala ng sombrero. Kaya itong nangyari sa kanya, talagang damang-dama niya yung init. Kaya talagang umangal siya ng matindi. At nagalit. And twice in the narrative, God had to ask him, is it right for you to be angry? Are you within your right? That's the question. And what that is bringing out is an important lesson. God is sovereign in the disposal of His favors. Soberano ang Diyos sa pagbibigay o pagkakait ng kanyang mga pabor. And the way to stand above these personal conveniences is to see the bigger things. It was God who gave Jonah the convenience of the plant. We are told that he was grateful for the plant. He does not say he was grateful to God. He was grateful for the plant. And then it was God who took away that little favor using the small creature of a worm to eat away the plant. And when miseries come, they pour. God made sure that there would be in nature to make it worse for Jonah. And so the reference to the vehement east wind. It shows that God could as easily give the plant for shelter as well as the worm to kill the plant. You see, that's sovereignty. Pwede kanyang bigyan ng maayos na trabaho na hindi ka kailanman mawawala ng kikitain at yan ay pabor niya. Ngunit kaya rin niya sa kanyang soberanong pamamaraan na tanggalin ang trabaho at ikaw ay mayat-maya nawawala ng trabaho, pwede rin niyang gawin yun. Huwag natin isipin na kaya ako ganito sa aking pangsamantalang mga pinapakinabangan ay dahil sa galing ko. Ang Diyos ang nagbibigay ng kakayahan at sa kanyang soberanong disposisyon, maaari niya itong ipagkait. He could as easily give it as easily take it away. And while he had the plant, we read of no utterance of thanksgiving from Jonah. And when taken away, he was quick to complain. It sounds like many Christians. No utterance of thanksgiving when we are enjoying the supplies of God. And once taken away, we complain. And while Jonah was occupied with the plant and the comfort he derived from it, God's occupation was the need of Nineveh. That's God's compassion. And it challenges us, brethren, to image God. Ilarawan natin ang Diyos. Let us image the compassionate God to our own generation. Sa henerasyon natin, ipakita natin sa kanila ang mahabaging Diyos sa ating patutuo. Ang sumbat ng Diyos kay Jonah rito, "You have had pity on the plant. Should I not pity Nineveh? Naawa ka sa halaman. Hindi ba dapat kong kahabagan ang syudad ng Nineveh?" And this is compassion for sinners. How petty was the occupation of Jonah. While the misery of sinners in Nineveh should have stared him in the face, he was occupied with his small shelter. But let us not be too hard on Jonah, because here is what I consider as an encouragement. I believe that this book is Jonah's public confession. Nobody would have learned of all this narrative unless Jonah himself wrote it or he told somebody who wrote it. But whichever way, Jonah came to a point of confession. Eh, siguro kung tayo ito, itatago na natin ito, private information na lang. But Jonah publicly confessed his sin through this writing of his story. It may also add to my point to know that the meaning of Jonah is, you would never guess it, dove, kalapati. Dove was a symbol of peace, harmlessness, and it could not be without significance that when Jesus sent his disciples to proclaim the gospel to the multitude, one figure he used is what? Be harmless as doves. So here was Jonah. He learned this lesson well. He had been insensitive, lacking in compassion, but he confessed it. It's for you and for you and I to learn from the experience of Jonah. Matuto tayo sa karanasan ni Jonah. As a church, as servants of God, we are not for this world's harm. We need to show compassion. And if we will display ourselves as God's light in this crooked generation, remember the words of Paul in Philippians, do all things without grumbling and murmuring. Gawin ninyo ang lahat ng walang pag-angal at bulong-bulungan. Let us aspire for people to see God in us. And when they see God in us, let it not be the judging God. Let it be the compassionate one. The world is already full of conveniences, yet also full of miseries. And what this world needs is a godly compassion. We all have heard of John Calvin. One of the influences to Calvin's conversion is a man from Paris, Etienne de la Forgue. Yet he was not one known for his verbal witness. What influence he wielded on the young Calvin was his ministry of compassion. He let Calvin into his house, cared for him when he was a fugitive. And that act of compassion had a lasting impression upon John Calvin. We have heard of John Calvin and his mighty, gigantic influence in history. The one who influenced Calvin was a man we have never heard. And yet a man God used for his simple acts of compassion. And you and I, brethren, are called to do just that. Here is one last thought on Jonah. Jonah is the only book of the Bible that ends with a question. And I think you and I are to supply the answer. The question was, in very concise words, should I not pity Nineveh? Change for Nineveh your place. Perhaps a friend, your workplace, your office, people there. And the question that ends the story of Jonah is, should I not pity? Let it be your own question. Should I not pity? If you will learn to pity, that is, exercise compassion, it cannot cohabit with complaining. Either that without complaining, or you complain without compassion. Let us choose to image God through His compassion. And that is by way of acknowledging that God is sovereign in His disposition of whatever He gives to us or takes away from us. And that is the point of our last hymn. It is the Lord, my covenant God. Verse 3 tells us, it is the Lord who gives me all, my wealth, my friends, my ease, and of His bounties may recall whatever part He please. Let us be satisfied with that thought. God gives, God supplies, and for as long as it lasts, let me be thankful. Let Him hear the utterance of my praise and thanksgiving. But when He takes it away, let me not complain. It is His right. Let me be occupied rather with the bigger things, such as compassion for sinners. Let's close in prayer. Nagpapasalamat kami, O Diyos, sa aklat na ito ni Jonah. At ipinapaakita nito sa amin ang dakila mong kahabagan. Ikaw na soberanong Diyos na may kontrol sa pinakamalalaki at maging sa pinakamaliliit ng kalikasan, ay Diyos na may kahabagan, Diyos na naghahangad ng ikabubuti ng iyong mga nilikha. At tulungan mo kami, Panginoon, na salaminin sa aming pamumuhay ang gayon mong kahabagan, makita rin nawa ng makasalanan ang katotohanan ito, kung paano kang tumugon sa pagsisisi ng isang masamang syudad gaya ng Nineveh, ay gayon kang tumutugon sa pagsisisi ng sinumang makasalanan. And thus we pray, Lord, that You will once more make this message come across with convicting power to anyone here who is yet to come to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. And make this effective for salvation of sinners. But let it also be a reminder to us as believers of what we ought to be, that we are in the midst of these miseries in this world, we are to be pleaders for God. We can, like Jonah, go through the motions and activities of our church ministries week in and week out, and yet have no note of pleading. Forgive us, Lord, when that happens, but do help us not to be occupied with our own selfish conveniences to the point that we forget the need of those around us, the need for God, and their need for grace. May we be active and zealous soul winners. And we pray that to do this, we may learn to image your compassion to our generation. This world is full of miseries. And this world is occupied with what conveniences they think will address those miseries. And yet we know the real answer is in your grace. But we need that compassion you have shown in this story. And we pray, Lord, that if we are lacking of that compassion, like Jonah here, who wrote this book as an act of public confession, may we learn to confess our own lack of compassion and learn that we may truly exercise compassion for sinners around us. And that compassion will not dwell with a complaining heart. And so we ask, Lord, that we will learn to mortify our complaints that have to do with personal conveniences. Help us, Lord, to stand above our personal conveniences that we may learn to image you to our generation as a compassionate God. And may the question with which this book ended ring loud in our own consciences. Should I not pity? Should I not exercise compassion for sinners around me? We pray that those who are sinners here will see the one greater than Jonah, the Lord Jesus himself. We pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.